From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, June 10th. Coming up, we'll learn about what parents and young people need to know to prevent an overdose death. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Prentice Women's Hospital at Northwestern in Chicago is so busy it's cutting back on letting patients schedule when to be induced for labor. Kristen Schorsch reports.
A study led by Northwestern touts the benefits of inducing labor for low-risk women, like reducing C-section rates. But WBEZ has learned providers are prioritizing patients who need to be induced for medical reasons. There just aren't enough beds for patients. That's partly because the hospital has converted more than a dozen obstetric beds for other types of patients, like people having surgery. Anisha Shetrapal is 39 weeks pregnant and was waitlisted for a necessary C-section.
The closer we've gotten, and we've already gone past one of the dates on our list, and there being no movement on the list was what was concerning to me.
She was finally able to schedule her delivery. Kristen Schorsch.
The Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation leader believes Illinois lawmakers will pass a bill giving the tribe title to a 1,500-acre park in DeKalb County. But it may take a few more months. Capital News Illinois reports the chairman of the tribe said in a statement that the bill had bipartisan support in both chambers, but lawmakers simply ran out of time before giving it final passage. The bill would grant the tribe ownership of Shawbana Lake and State Park outside of Aurora. Chairman Joseph Zeke Rupnik says something like this would put Illinois on the right side of history. Lawmakers will meet again this fall for their annual veto session. Exact dates for that session have not yet been announced. It's been an extremely active year for tornadoes and other severe storms in the middle of the U.S. Harvest Public Media's Skylar Rossi reports on what's causing this and what experts anticipate for the rest of the year.
There were more than 6,000 severe storms across the country in May, many occurring in the Midwest and Great Plains. That makes last month the second most active May for tornadoes and other big storms in the past 20 years. Weather conditions were ripe, according to Patrick Marsh, the chief of science and support for the National Storm Prediction Center.
We've had ingredients in place for supercell thunderstorms over the plains for pretty much the entire month of May. And when you have that many of these kinds of thunderstorms, inevitably you will have an increase in tornadoes as well.
Marsh and others studying storms anticipate tornado activity to wind down early this month. Beyond that, Marsh says it's difficult to know exactly what to expect. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Skylar Rossi.
Former Fighting Illini volleyball player Jordan Poulter was named to the U.S. Olympic team. Poulter was a three-time All-American with the Illini and is the first Illinois volleyball player to make two Olympic teams. During her time with the Illini, Poulter led the team to a national semifinal appearance in the NCAA tournament. The U.S. team will look to take home gold once again, just like they did in 2020. Still to come, we'll learn about what parents and young people need to know to prevent an overdose death. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Hope in the Water explores the groundbreaking work of fishers, aquafarmers, and scientists who are attempting what was once thought impossible, harvesting aquatic species to feed our growing planet while saving our oceans. Featuring environmental enthusiast Shailene Woodley, Martha Stewart, Baratunde Thurston, and Jose Andreas, the three-part series takes a deep dive into the breakthrough science of blue food technology. Hope in the Water will be available to stream with the free PBS app beginning the night of its broadcast premiere on June 19th.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The number of overdose deaths in the U.S. has dropped. That's according to provisional data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But the problem is not going away. Teenagers are still dying of overdoses. The majority of these adolescent overdose deaths are happening in the home. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri talks about what parents and young people need to know to prevent an overdose death.
I'm Lizzie McGreevy, Community Engagement Specialist at Side Effects Public Media, and with me is Managing Editor Farah Yousri.
Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, Farah. So this is truly striking data. To start us off, can you tell us what we know about young people and overdoses?
Yeah, like you mentioned earlier, Lizzie, the number of young people who died of an overdose has more than doubled in 2022 compared to 2019. and that's looking at adolescents between 10 years old and 19 years old.
Wow, Farah, that's so young.
Yeah, and you know, as parents, we are typically most worried when our teenage children are out partying or doing some other teenage activities with friends away from us. But what the CDC data tells us is that actually most of these overdose deaths are happening right under our noses, at home. Listen to what Dr. Lauren Tanz told me. She's a researcher with the CDC.
A quarter of deaths among adolescents had evidence of counterfeit pill use. And counterfeit pills are kind of easily marketed towards adolescents via social media. And I think they're easier for initiating drug use. And these counterfeit pills, they might look like legitimate pharmaceutical medications, but often they contain fentanyl. Most of the deaths occur at home where the decedent lives, and about two-thirds had somebody nearby that could have potentially intervened to prevent the overdose.
Farah, we know that we have tools to reverse overdoses, and that can save lives. Why aren't we employing these tools?
So according to the data, family or friends in the house may be spatially separated from the teenager, as in parents may be in the living room and the child is in their own room. So they do not see what's happening. Other times, maybe they didn't even know that their adolescent uses drugs. And so they didn't know that they should administer naloxone. And other times, people just didn't have the tools like naloxone at home, or they just didn't know how to use it. But Lizzie, Dr. Tanz also says that in nearly a third of the adolescent overdose deaths, naloxone was actually used, but it didn't save the person. She says in these instances, maybe the naloxone dose used wasn't enough, or in some instances, there may have been polydrugs involved. Here's how she explains what that means.
Polydrugs mean there were more than one drug or drug type involved in an overdose, so something like an opioid and a stimulant. Naloxone can only reverse an opioid overdose. That said, over 90% of adolescent overdose deaths involved an opioid. So it is always important to administer naloxone if somebody is overdosing.
So what should families know or do to prevent a tragedy like this from happening?
So first off, stocking up on naloxone is a great idea. Then learning how to use it is crucial. There are, you know, a lot of educational videos on the CDC website if you just look up the word naloxone on their website. And what really prevents kids from starting to use drugs is building a strong social network around them. So if, for example, they are close to their family, they have activities that they do at school, all of this involvement helps children and prevents substance use. Finally, if the parent knows that their child uses drugs, it's important to first make sure they are doing it safely, and second, to seek effective treatment as soon as possible.
Okay, Farah, so say there's a parent or caregiver who is concerned that their child might be using drugs. Are there certain signs or symptoms to look out for that could indicate drug use?
Yeah, a change in behavior or mood, disappearing for a long period of time, locked doors, you know, being secretive, inability to focus, you know, among other things. Experts also say a history of mental illness is another risk factor for drug use. So as a parent, if you have doubts, experts advise you shouldn't be afraid to err on the side of caution. So if you have doubts, prepare to ask tough questions like, have you been vaping or using drugs? Of course, as parents, we really don't want to hear the word yes, but parents should be prepared to respond in a way that does not alienate the child, if in fact they are using drugs, and to be prepared to help them.
Farah, thank you so much for this very important information and shedding some light on this with us today.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a high of 72 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Kristen Schorsch, Skylar Rossi, Colin Highslope, and Farah Yousry. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.